Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
President Trump's renewed support for nationwide year-round E15 sales reinforced optimism about ethanol demand, even as Congress delayed legislative action last week by excluding an E15 amendment from an appropriations bill. The split highlights strong executive backing alongside unresolved procedural and political hurdles on Capitol Hill. Now, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said the administration views year-round E15 as a direct boost to domestic corn use, estimating potential annual demand growth of up to 2 billion bushels. Announcement follows recent export gains for U.S. ethanol and expanded market access through trade agreements in Asia and Europe, strengthening the long-term demand outlook for corn and soybeans. But despite that momentum, the House Rules Committee opted not to attach E15 provisions to a must-pass funding bill, citing concerns over bypassing regular committee order and the need to balance farm state priorities with refining interest. Lawmakers instead signaled continued negotiations through a dedicated House-led process, which is expected to continue into February. Now, the divergence leaves ethanol markets supported by policy signals, but again dependent on congressional follow-through to deliver regulatory certainty. Well, beef on dairy feeder cattle have become a mainstream source of inventory for feed yards as feeder prices remain historically strong and traditional cattle supplies stay tight. But new marketing data shows buyers increasingly value genetics, dam type, management details when bidding on dairy cross cattle. Now, an analysis of 2025 sales by cattle marketing services covered nearly 95,000 head across 469 groups, average weights near 525 pounds. From January 25 through January 26, beef on dairy prices rose about $176 per hundredweight, translating to more than $1,000 per head on a 600-pound feeder. Pricing also showed the steepest weight slide on record, values falling roughly $60 per hundredweight for every additional 100 pounds. Now, genetics and dam type, major price drivers, Holstein cattle brought nearly $27 per hundredweight more than non-Holstein crosses, while Angus sired calves commanded premiums exceeding $15 per hundredweight. Verified programs and non-hormone treated cattle and further value. Group size had a limited influence on price, reinforcing that buyers prioritize cattle quality over load size. Average prices for 500-pound beef dairy steers closely match native steer values, underscoring broad market acceptance. And efforts to cut out the middleman in cotton and apparel supply chains often increase risk rather than reduce cost. That's according to industry veteran Bob Antoshag. He says removing wholesalers shifts inventory, financing, and execution burdens onto participants least equipped to absorb them. He notes that while wholesalers standardize thousands of smaller retail transactions, he says without the function, brands face higher administrative costs or abandon small accounts altogether. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
But I've made new fair trade deals with countries covering half of all U.S. trade, scoring giant wins for the farmers, ranchers, and agricultural producers like no other president has ever done. That's why I got such a tremendous vote from the farmers, and I love you too.
President Donald Trump speaking in Iowa on Tuesday.
So Japan will now allow the United States to supply up to 100% of automotive ethanol, and import large amounts of aviation biofuels from the United States. That's great for you. That was part of the deal that we made. The United Kingdom will import nearly $1 billion of ethanol. That's part of their deal. Australia is allowing American beef into its market for the first time in more than 20 years. Did you know that? And beef is doing great, and we got to get the prices down a little bit, and they're starting to come down pretty much. China has agreed to purchase over $40 billion of U.S.-grown soybeans. You know that. You're selling them. They're selling them. And I went to President Xi, and he's upping it. I mean, it's $40 billion. The European Union will dramatically increase purchases of American pork, dairy, and soybean oil. They never did that before. They're all doing things that they never did before because you have a certain president that's a little bit different from the presidents that you had before. And nations from Cambodia to Thailand to the Philippines and Indonesia are eliminating all trade barriers to agricultural products. Your agricultural products had trade barriers that didn't allow them to be sold in countries that are now saying, oh, please, we'd love to accept your product. So that's great. It's going to be, you're going to see it starting to kick in now for the farmers. And to further help our farmers recover from the really a catastrophe of the Biden years. What a period of years that we had. We had a country that was just dead. We had a country that was just not respected by anybody. We had a guy who didn't know where the hell he was. Do you think he worried about his farmer at night? No. He just wanted to go to sleep. This is what we had. This is what we had in our fake election. We recently issued $12 billion in farm relief. We gave him far because you were screwed by other countries. I said, how much is the number? To our great Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. She's doing a great job. I said, Brooke, what's the number? And she said, $12 billion. And I wrote a check for $12 billion because we have so much money from the tariffs coming in. So you couldn't have done that before. We're a rich country now. I hope we win that Supreme Court case. You know, we have people that are China-oriented. They are people from literally that very China-oriented and foreign country-oriented trying to stop that. But we'll get it done one way or the other. We're going to do it. If we have to do it a different way, we'll do it.
And he said on the underlying problem.
You know, I inherited this problem. They say, prices are too high. I just took over. They said, I'll never forget. I come here, I'm in 3 days. I have a news conference 3 days into my administration. What about the price of eggs? They've gone up like five times more. I said, I just got here. I didn't know about it. I'm sorry. And we got eggs down very quickly, remember? But I was standing there. I'm so happy. I thought the press was going to be so nice. And some lunatic right there, actually. What about the price of eggs? Eggs have gone up. I said, oh, tell me, give me a little, because I don't know. I just got here. I'm sorry. But I fixed it. Now I fixed it pretty much all, but it's going to go down even further. No, but they caused the problem.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Well, I think the weather definitely has a part to play in this, along with the cash market.
Zach Tindall is with Producers Livestock in Akron, Iowa.
Last week in the north, we kind of started at 232 trade. By the end of the day Friday, we were, trading some 235 cattle on a little bit limited basis. But there were plenty of feedlots that weren't willing to sell at steady money last week. I mean, you've got this cold weather. Packers were maybe a little shorter bought than what they were leading on. And at the end of the day, it led to a higher cash market. So, I mean, we didn't see any explosive higher like we have here in the past couple of years where you get these weeks where packers are short bought and nobody's really got any cattle ready. And we see a $7, $8, $10 pop. I mean, it was pretty minimal compared to that. But I think the feedlots just kind of locked the gates and said, you know what, with this cold weather, we got cattle shrunk up, maybe not quite as big, or, you know, not going to weigh up like they would have, and packers needing a few cattle. And by mid-morning Friday, a lot of these packers had to up their bid to get some bought. The futures, I mean, we haven't seen a big reaction to this cold weather, and especially cold weather in the south and the snow, but we have seen a pretty good uptick, especially from Friday's lows. I mean, Friday we were getting down to some pretty key areas, mainly on the feeder cattle chart, but fat cattle as well. And you said the most active April contract. I mean, we're $5.50 above where the low was on Friday before that cash news hit the market. So, these cattle markets or cattle complex, they're going to be tied to this cash market and maybe looking for a driver. And I think cash is what it's going to need to be. We're going to run into some overhead resistance just up here at 239 or so on this April contract. And we really need to push through that. And I think there needs to be some better fundamentals that is what drives us higher.
There's been a lot of volatility in the energy markets, especially nat gas, but only on the front month.
And you look at all these energy markets as a whole, and we've had a pretty good recovery from the middle of December there, and then it kind of looked like we were going to go down and put new lows in, or at least test the lows in the first week of January, and instead we reversed higher, and, like these crude oil contracts put $6 on, and we did see a little correction at the end of the week before and beginning of last week, but put new highs in for this last 5-6 day stretch here on the crude oil this morning. And as you said, we're now lower, but just a lot of global tensions, a lot of what if things like that going on. It just seems like geopolitical problems are always in the front of the news. And even if it's not a problem, we just don't know what's going to come overnight or the next minute, and maybe giving guys a little bit of nervousness.
Talking inputs, which have been increasing for farmers. Josh Linville with StoneX on potash.
Here recently, we've seen a lot more threats in terms of Canada. Canada's been trying to do some more deals with China directly, and Trump administration, the U.S., is not looking at that lightly. He's now sitting there threatening 100% tariffs. And let's go ahead and look at it. When we look at nitrogen, okay, there's going to be a little bit of flow back and forth, but it's not hugely detrimental. Phosphate, there's no phosphate that comes from Canada and comes down south. Potash is a story we have to pay attention to. And U.S. farmers are sitting there saying, dear U.S. government, please stop helping. We can only handle so much. Potash is the only fertilizer, when you look as far as a major fertilizer, that's well priced. You look at it versus its history. You look at it versus grain values. It's decently priced. The potash manufacturers have done a great job of keeping that at a solid value. If he goes ahead and he puts these tariffs in place, and it does include fertilizer, it does include potash, I'm afraid the U.S. farmer is going to be the one that pays that tariff price. Politicians in D.C. are absolutely correct. They will get money from the Canadian companies. The problem is those Canadian companies will pay it using the higher price that the U.S. farmers are paying to get their hands on it, because 88% of the U.S. imports, which highly, highly reliant on imports to meet our demand, 88% of that comes from Canada.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
But I repealed the Biden's EPA ridiculous water restrictions to keep federal bureaucrats off your land and out of your business. That was a big one. That was a big one.
President Donald Trump speaking in Iowa on Tuesday evening.
I terminated the so-called diesel exhaust fluid requirement. You know what that is? Saving family farmers more than $1 billion a year. And we're going to do a lot more. We're going to do something on tractors. You know, they never took the, we did it with cars. We took all that nonsense off the cars. You couldn't start your car. You'd have to go to MIT to get somebody to fix your car. With all the crap they had on it, in order to save a quarter of it lasted this much little tiny bit of gas. These people are crazy. And I'm going to do that, I think, for tractors, too, because we're going to get the tractors back where you don't have to be a PhD in order to start your tractor, in order to keep the environment clean. So much nonsense. I think it makes the environment dirty, actually. And they, very importantly, on day one, I kept my promise to the people of Iowa and abolished the insane electric vehicle mandate, which would have obligated you to go out and buy an electric car, but it would have obliterated a thing called ethanol. Do you like ethanol? Is it big? A lot of people are asking me about ethanol. I don't know. Do you want me to do something with ethanol? Maybe. But under Sleepy Joe, we had the largest trade deficit in world history. But in 1 year, I've slashed our gaping trade deficit by a staggering 77%. How about that? What about that? That's pretty good, right? 77. Nobody's ever seen that. You know, if you slash your trade deficit by 1%, you're like a genius. They say, oh, he's very electable. He's not so electable. I did 77.
Of course, one of the hot topics has been year-round E15.
But I'm also working hard to expand your markets domestically. And in the campaign, I promise to support E15 all year round. Should I do it, Kaufman? Should I do it? I did. I promised E15 all year round if I get elected. And I want to let you know, and we'll start right now. I was going to put out a statement a week ago. I said, hold it. I'm coming to Iowa to make a speech. I'm not going to put out a truth. I want to be there in person to tell them, the people of Iowa, to know that I am trusting Speaker Mike Johnson, who's great, and Leader John Thune, who's great, that's House and Senate, to find a deal that works, we've got it, for farmers, consumers, and refiners, including small and mid-sized refiners. In other words, to get E15 approved, and they're working on it. They're very close to getting it done, so I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah. Okay. And China will be sending me a bill very shortly supporting year-round E15 to my desk very quickly, and I will sign it without delay. Okay?
Mentioning China, but meaning Congress. As soon as the bill arrives, he'll sign it. It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
When you look back at 2025 really up until, you know, mid-November, we had kind of had a similar situation where we had just seen no sales to China.
Tim Lust, a CEO, National Sorghum Producer, says this last year has been eerily like 2018.
And then the last 60 days been quite impressive. Obviously, today announced of a flash sale of five boats, 302,000 metric tons. You know, last week we had nine boats that were sold. And you know, when we look at the last 60 days, we've had 3 million metric tons of exports announced in the last 60 days. So certainly see a very strong pull. Two recent sales last week and this week are unknown, but certainly assume that those are China sales. Certainly they've become a very strong buyer again recently.
The 2025 crop was a good one.
We do. Had a really good crop, increase in acres, increase in harvested acres. And, for us, about a 27% bigger crop than a year ago. So certainly have bushels, have very strong demand from our domestic ethanol industry as well. And pull there, but, no, certainly still have a lot of bushels. And so, we need to be able to see it to move to markets, and excited that it is.
What's the potential for 2026?
We needed the export sales. We've needed the last 2 weeks. We've needed to be able to show that we're moving large quantities of sorghum and moving it, because, certainly there were concerns there. I think the good thing about sorghum is, while there are a lot of decisions made early, switching back and forth, between summer crops, you have a little bit more time to do that. And so I think, we need to see the market signals, and we need to see the price increases and basis firm up here on sorghum. But certainly this is a very good start to moving us back to a more healthy position.
And now there's more foreign competition.
We've competed with Australia and Argentina for a number of years in the export markets. And so, that's something that's pretty consistent. We kind of know what that looks like. Obviously, the big unknown for everybody is Brazil. We have seen very small amounts of sorghum come out of Brazil, but certainly there's talk, and certainly we understand what's happened with all of the other commodities that you just mentioned in terms of that. So, that's the future competition. That's the one that people will be looking at over the next several years to see what that really looks like or means.
And what about USDA's bridge payments?
In our case, $48.11 an acre on sorghum. I think the other side of that is a mechanism and a process where hopefully they do get it out the door here in the next 40 days and are able to get it to farmers to really bridge. I mean, we've got farmers in South Texas that are planting in less than 40 days. So from our standpoint, real necessity, not only for the dollars, but to get them out quickly. In a perfect world, you do things a little bit different, but it's never quite a perfect world. Certainly continued discussions about what else may come there or what else may look like. But certainly bridge payments were something that needed to get announced when they did, and they need to get cash flow into the country here over the next 40 days, and that will be very important for our growers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
You can imagine my surprise as a member representing a district with small refiners that I was never consulted about making changes to the renewable fuel standard small refinery exemption, and that such changes were being brought forth in the 11th hour in an unrelated legislative package.
Wyoming Representative Harriet Hageman is a member of the House Ag Committee.
The Renewable Fuel Standard, or RFS, requires U.S. transportation fuel to contain a minimum volume of renewable fuel. Included in the RFS is the Small Refinery Exemption, or SRE, which releases small refineries from compliance with the Renewable Fuel Standard mandate during a given compliance period to alleviate disproportionate economic hardship. Small refiners are defined in the statute as facilities that do not exceed 75,000 barrels per day. All of our Wyoming refineries are under this threshold and therefore rely on the SRE. I want to make two points abundantly clear. First, any changes to the definition of small refinery will structurally disadvantage refineries in Wyoming and across the country. Second, we do not need to destroy small refineries in the pursuit of E15. I understand that in this policy dispute, my fellow members on this panel with me today have to fight for their constituents, and I respect what they've done, and I respect each of them individually. But I also need to fight for my businesses.
Last week, the House Rules Committee hearing the amendment brought by Adrian Smith from Nebraska.
Some of the dynamics change every 2 years, obviously, and so we've shifted gears from time to time, but I think you've heard of bipartisan interest in this issue. Ultimately, I'll admit there have been some surprises along the way, some pleasant surprises along the way that I did not anticipate. Huge support from retailers that want to provide their customers with more options. And let's face it, E15 allows all refiners and those facing RFS obligations to meet those obligations more easily, effectively allowing retailers to offer more products at the pump. And also, end result, more consumer-friendly, whether it's the price, whether it's the selection, and certainly the technologies. That's what's been particularly exciting to me, is that we can break down a kernel of corn, have it in the food supply and energy supply, and a lot of other things, incidentally. And it's pretty darn cool that we can, I think there's one biorefinery campus with multiple companies in Nebraska that I think combined, even with a little competition among themselves, that 23 different products are coming out of a kernel of corn, still in the food supply, energy supply, and like I said, many others, and it's pretty exciting. So those dynamics and technology has only been working in our favor. So the folks who say, well, it drives up the cost of food, no, it doesn't. And actually, the energy ratios today are very optimal, especially compared to years ago. So I think we've got a great story to tell, and it's frustrating that we've hit an impasse. Make no mistake, it's an impasse, and this is an effort to break that impasse. I hear from a lot of folks who say they support the underlying purposes of E15. They have some other concerns. Let's work through this together.
Minnesota Representative Michelle Fischbach.
And I appreciate the opportunity that the council provides to sit down and make sure that we cover all the bases, we get it taken care of, and we move forward in February and make sure that legislation passes. So I'm looking forward to it, working with everybody. And, you know, I think that it was said earlier that if you're interested, you should. So that
McGovern,
if you have someone who's interested in serving on it, certainly talk to the speaker and express that interest, because obviously it is bipartisan.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.